Welcome back to the clubhouse. Here in the McAdoo studios, Kyle Bailey, still joined by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL. Just quickly, you and I spent a good portion of a segment last week talking about North Carolina and the notice of allegations and the NCAA probe into the academic fraud. And just yesterday, I guess it was, the news came out that the Federal Accreditation Board put North Carolina on probation for 1 year. And it's the second highest penalty that that accreditation board hands out, short of just removing a member from the board altogether.
Yeah.
And Bob Lee of ESPN says, look, if you think this is not a bigger deal than the NCAA probe, then your priorities are messed up and you just don't get it. And we've been asking the question for a couple of weeks now since the news came out, you know, how can the NCAA justify treating academic fraud as impermissible benefits? Well, maybe they knew something we didn't, you know, in terms of how this part of it was going to play out. Because this is more serious than the NCAA's probe. As serious as the NCAA and the investigation is technically, you're talking about a prestigious university, or some would say once prestigious university, I would still argue that they are, you know, potentially losing its accreditation, you know, if they don't get their act together. That's a huge deal. You lose federal funding, student aid goes away. I mean, that's
oh, yeah.
You can't overstate what a big blow that could be. So, again, it leads me to believe maybe the NCAA knew something that we didn't, but also it was still a path for them not to have to even attempt to put their hands on academic fraud in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always wondered if the accreditation bureau, for lack of a better word, would come down on them.
Yeah.
Because there were obviously some very sketchy things going on there.
Yeah.
As far as impermissible benefits go, they basically gave people degrees. That seems like a pretty big benefit to me.
Yeah.
Especially for some of the African American studies classes, the ones that they didn't have to attend that counted as independent study classes.
Mm-hmm.
I think in North Carolina you can't have any more than 12 or 15 hours of independent study courses.
Right.
And they were graduating people with like a lot more hours in independent study courses.
I think I saw one case where there might have been like upwards of 30 to 33 hours of independent study.
So basically they were giving people degrees.
Paper classes, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and papers that oftentimes weren't even written by the player, you know, him or herself.
Yeah.
You know, his or herself. So
yeah.
It's a big deal, and I just wanted to bring that up because I think folks need to really realize that the Southern Association of Colleges and Universities, the regional arm of that federal accreditation board, is not playing around.
No.
And so that's a really big deal. Quickly, I just want to ask you this. I still see some things, and maybe I just missed the official word here from the recruiting services, but Tyrone Outlaw, the JUCO that Buzz and company have been after, and there were some reports that he committed to Virginia Tech, then it got rescinded. Has there been any new news about Tyrone Outlaw? Do we know anything?
I mean, unless something changes, he's coming to Virginia Tech.
Okay.
I think it's too late to sign an LOI. I don't think you can sign an LOI past the month of May. I think you could sign enrollment papers now, but you can't sign a letter of intent.
Okay.
So I'm sure unless something changes, he is coming to Virginia Tech. I don't know exactly what the holdup on the announcement is. But right now I've got him penciled in into Virginia Tech's roster for next season.
I mean, the idea is that Tyrone Outlaw is an immediate impact guy, right?
Absolutely. He would play major minutes right away.
Yeah.
If not start.
So, and for folks that don't know, in what role, I mean, in what capacity, what would be the expectation of Tyrone Outlaw?
He could play the wing. He's also tough enough to play an undersized four position, but I think probably small forwards is 3-4. You know, Buzz will play undersized four.
Sure.
If the guy's tough and can rebound and things like that. So, I think a 3/4 would be his role next year. And if he's a 4, he's a guy who can step out and shoot it with range. Shot over 40% from three-point range in JUCO ball last year. Really scrappy, tough kid. When he always knew he was better than other people thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't get that many major offers. Went to UNC Greensboro as a freshman. Decided he was better than that. So instead of transferring to another school, he just decided to go JUCO and to try to raise his profile so he can get higher offer lists. He always wanted to play in the ACC. His dad had originally signed to play with NC State, but got in trouble and never got to play at NC State. So he's going to fulfill his dream of playing in the ACC, it seems like. He's always valued himself higher than other people did, and it's going to pay off for him.
This roster, when you look at it, last year Virginia Tech's strength was its ability to shoot the ball from the outside. This next iteration of Buzz Williams' team? Is this a team you expect will shoot the ball as well, better, maybe not quite as well? What do you think?
I don't, it's going to be tough for him to shoot it as well without Adam Smith, because that guy was just a dynamite shooter. I mean, he could put it over guys who were 6-7 inches taller than him, and he got off the floor so quickly. But at the same time, you know, Justin Bibbs can shoot it. Ahmad Hill's a good shooter. Like I said, if Ty Outlaw comes in, he shot over 40% last year. It's still going to be a team that can shoot the basketball. That will still be a strength of this team, in my opinion.
Jalen Hudson's going to have to change his nickname. I just thought about that. They can't call him Tyrone anymore, can they?
They can't call him Tyrone anymore.
Or can they? Maybe they can.
Yeah.
Maybe Tyrone has to be Ty Outlaw.
Yeah, maybe so.
Maybe. But, yeah. I mean, there's already been a Ty Outlaw.
That's right.
So I don't know how that's going to work out.
I don't know the dynamics of that. Maybe they can have a battle royal or something for the name Tyrone. That could be part of boot camp.
It's going to bother me, though, because I made a great vine for Tyrone out for when, you know, when Jalen started going off and he became Tyrone.
Right.
I mean, I actually put a lot of work into that.
Hmm.
And it was popular on Vines.
Yeah.
So now I'm not sure that I can use it anymore.
Man, Buzz Williams must not have been thinking about you.
He must not have been. It's a great clip from Friday, too, or next Friday, I should say. You know what I mean?
I bet it is.
Yeah, it's what he, anyway, I'm not going to go into it.
Okay.
I'm bad about movie quotes. So, basketball's a long way off. Let's get back to football for just a second. Ohioans were polled. They all think overwhelmingly, evidently, that Cardale Jones should be the starting quarterback. I was bullish on JT Barrett being the guy a couple of months ago. Now I'm not sure. I might be leaning Cardale Jones, but I don't really know. Someone raised a good point yesterday that it was Ohio State's running game that really propelled them in the second half of last season. So if that's the case, maybe JT Barrett is actually the better choice for this position. I don't know. What I do know is there's a lot of chatter on Twitter these days between Virginia Tech and Ohio State about that opening game. There's a lot of excitement surrounding this game. I mean, there was obviously going to be a lot of excitement surrounding the game in Blacksburg and in Columbus, but a lot of folks are going to be paying attention to this one, I think.
Yeah, and that's for several reasons. Obviously, for Virginia Tech, it's not every day you get the defending national champions in the stadium.
In your house, that's right.
That's right. And it's not every, from an Ohio State fan perspective, it's not every day you lose to a 7-6 team at home and then go on to win the national championship.
Right.
So they would probably like to come back down here and put Virginia Tech in their place.
Do you think if when Ohio State comes to town that first week of September, and you know the weather in Blacksburg is so unpredictable, but I mean it's not uncommon in Blacksburg to have a 90-degree day in September. And I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent here, but you know you don't get many 90-degree days, at least that I know of, in Columbus, Ohio. So I wonder, you know, from a weather standpoint, if you're Frank Beamer, if you're hoping for a hot day, like I don't know what you're hoping for then, if it even matters to you. I just, you know, you're coming down from the upper Midwest. I mean, they get some 66-degree days in August and stuff like that. So I wonder if that could play a factor. Yeah. Maybe I'm just overplaying that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. You know, it's going to be a night game, so it won't be that.
But if it's
it'll
humid.
Hot. You know, it'll be humid. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The humidity. You see some guys that come here from the Midwest. And I remember when Boise State came to play Virginia Tech in D.C., and I was walking around the stadium talking to Boise State fans, and they were all about to pass out.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're like, how do you guys deal with this?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, y'all don't have this? No. Like, oh, all right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. I've been debating it actually recently whether I would like for it to rain for that one.
Yeah.
I don't think I will, because then they'll just hand it to Zeke Elliott more, and he's really good.
Yeah.
And if Cardale Jones is a starting quarterback, he's such a big guy, and he has such big hands, he can still get a grip on the football and throw it downfield. I actually think a rain game would hurt Virginia Tech more than it would hurt Ohio State.
Probably so.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, I used to hope it rained and snowed for every game because Virginia Tech was so good at running the football.
Yeah.
I was just like, I hope it really rains
just
so we can
pour.
Just run it down their throats. you know. But not so much anymore.
Yeah, I saw there was a little bit of chatter. Tyvis Powell on Twitter. Did you see that yesterday?
I don't think so.
Tyvis Powell. Is that Cardale Jones' dad? Is that who that is? It's somebody. I think it's I don't know. The Twitter account was odd to me, but he said he was the father of a national champion quarterback at Ohio State, and I guess he's got a lot of Twitter followers, and there were a lot of retweets, and he said, you know, he was talking directly to the Tech players, like, I hope y'all been in the lab working, because you know what happened last year is not going to happen again this year, and I don't like reference the exact dates of the game, and so Luther Matty jumped in the fray and starts, you know, tweeting back at him. I don't know, it's getting chippy.
If you're going to run your mouth, you better – I don't see how he can run his mouth. He's not playing in the game, you know?
Well, you know,
some dads
live vicariously through these things pretty seriously.
I guess they do.
Sports dads are notoriously obnoxious.
Yeah, they really are. They really are notoriously obnoxious. I don't think I'd run my mouth somebody who beat me last year.
Well, yeah. So Tyvis Powell is the starting safety at Ohio State. Is that right? I think. Well, so that's what I'm like. The Twitter account was odd because I'm like, okay, well, I think I know who Tyvis Powell is. I don't cover Ohio State, but I mean, I think I know who Tyvis Powell is. But then the Twitter account's like, I'm the father of a national champion quarterback, and it was really weird.
It's probably some kind of inside joke on the team.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I thought it was strange. It was like, but I thought I knew who that was, but evidently he says he's someone's father, so that was strange. I don't know. Anyway, but it's going to be an interesting start to the season. And I'll just end with this because I've gotten a lot of questions from Tech fans here recently about, you know, what do I think the final record is going to be and how many wins does Virginia Tech get, which I don't know. I mean, I conservatively said, you know, 8 or 9. I think Bitter and I both said that one day. And sure enough, I think the Vegas over-under is 8.5.
That's exactly where I would set it if I was Vegas.
You know, yep. And so I saw that and I'm like, they'll say, well, the road schedule is really tough. And I'm like, well, is it though? I mean, it's...
These days, I'd rather play Miami in Miami than at home.
Right.
The last time we went down there, we crushed them. And the last time they came here, they crushed us. I'd rather play them down there at this point.
No one's afraid of playing in Bobby Dodd in Atlanta.
No
one's afraid of that place. I mean, I was there that Thursday night when Logan Thomas went off and beat him. I mean, they had about 50,000 fans in the stands, and it was loud for about 15 minutes. And outside of that, it was just, you know, like being at a festival in a park somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, Purdue's on the road. I mean, that speaks for itself. Greenville is a pretty exciting place. They do a great job with the atmosphere there, but I mean it's not.
East Carolina is going to be up for Virginia Tech because it's an ACC game coming out of the house.
They've lost everything.
They don't have the personnel this year.
No.
I know. I agree with you 100%. They do not have the personnel this year to beat Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech has the personnel to beat Virginia Tech.
Right.
But East Carolina cannot beat Virginia Tech this year without a bunch of help.
East Carolina's done a tremendous job.
Yeah, you know, they have.
They've done a tremendous job. And I have a lot of respect for that program, but they're not to the point yet where they can just replace Shane Carden and that cast on offense and just not miss a beat the next year.
And to me, it's not even Carden, because 2 years ago, we shut down Carden.
Sure.
And it was only like 3 plays in that game. Like 3 bombs in that game. Guess what? Ohio State threw the same 3 bombs, and they all happened to be incomplete. It was just one of those days.
Yeah.
Because Virginia Tech annihilated Shane Carden 2 years ago. The same Shane Carden, the same East Carolina offense. They don't have their defensive tackle anymore. That's what excites me.
Yeah. Well, the point that I'm making here as we're running out of time is just simply that I'm not telling you Virginia Tech is going to go on the road and just wipe the floor with these teams on the road. I'm telling you it's not a road schedule that anyone would fear.
Correct.
Ever. So I just don't think the road schedule is quite as daunting
we're
as some people would have you believe.
Here, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
No one's afraid of this road schedule. Yeah. At least the sane people aren't afraid of this road schedule. It's been great catching up. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good, man.
Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL. Highly recommend that you do. And check out TechSideline.com. Some great content over there right now. Be sure to check it out. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the show here on a Friday. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.